Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What was she like?
It wasn't a she.
What was he like?
Wasn't a he.
It?
It was a Tarkasian razor beast. It had dark brown fur and gold eyes and huge spiny wings. And it would fly past so fast nobody could see it but me.
Sounds scary.
Oh, it was. Especially when he smiled. But the best thing about him was I could curl up on his furry belly, and he had the softest purr you ever heard. Put me right to sleep every night. I tell you, that razor beast was a good friend.
So was Isabella.
Okay, let's go ahead and start the podcast.
We're gonna Why?
No, because I want to get started with alacrity this week. I want to get started.
Why are you so serious lately?
I ain't serious.
Why
are we starting the podcast?
Because we have to start the podcast, because if we don't start the podcast,
didn't
we'll
you just
finish
want to start
the
it?
Podcast.
You're like, are we ever going to start the podcast?
Dan's being comedically recalcitrant.
I was just saying, because like,
he
you
always
know,
does that.
I was just doing that recently because like I felt like recently we were going on, our intros were longer than normal.
All right. I'm into it. Let's get started.
Yeah, man.
We're going to start about...
get down to brass tacks.
We're going to talk about Star Trek. Okay. So, still have to get through all the ritualistic business at the beginning.
The stardom ups.
Stardom ups. Oh, man.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
You should be destroyed.
I thought she was going to say, are you shitting me?
Are you shitting me?
All right. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hello.
This is episode 200. 200 was so funny, Jesse.
Oh, man.
Jesse's already giggling. All right. This is... This is.
He said it funny.
I didn't say it, but I'm pretty perfectly. It's episode 200.
You can die along with everyone else.
Okay. All right. Now we gotta get moving here. So, okay. Episode 225.
Totally.
Oh my God. Yeah.
225.
We're cruel, uncaring creatures.
episode 225 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Right. Isn't that great?
This is a fifth season.
It is.
Fifth season, The Next Generation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're going backwards. I mean, not backwards. You're doing it the reverse. I normally say
22nd.
Star Trek, The Next Generation, season 5, episode 22.
Man. Agreed.
Agreed.
Imaginary Friend. There we go. Took me a second to actually say the title.
Yes.
Of the show. Mm-hmm. Of the episode. Imaginary Friend. Okay, that's what we'll be discussing.
Which is, I don't know.
This week.
I mean, this is, I guess, one of the examples of where the algorithm didn't necessarily pick anything terribly exciting. It was a good episode, but whoever really thinks about it, whoever thinks about this episode when they think about Star Trek.
Like, do you have your algorithm tuned for excitement?
You know,
it's not tuned for excitement.
You know
that's true.
What episode comes after this episode?
23.
I bore.
Oh,
no! Wow. Hey, that's interesting.
I should have known that.
All right. Quick recap.
My algorithm does not account for excitement, but it's just like, it's just interesting. It's like, would we have ever chosen to do this episode on our own?
Well, eventually, but
I mean, like, how many years would it have, like, podcast?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those,
it's not a bad episode.
It's a middling episode.
Yeah, it's middling. Yeah.
But it's a memorable episode, I would say.
The fifth season has a lot of memorable episodes.
I was going to say, just as a quick recap, since we referenced the algorithm, Dan, for those not in the know, Dan has written...
Not in the news.
Composed, created, crafted, whatever the most appropriate term is. He's crafted.
Coded.
a digital algorithm which ingests the content from the previous week's episode of It's Got Star Trek. So in this case, it ingested our conversation discussing Star Trek Deep Space Nine's The Visitor.
Yes.
A significantly more appreciated and depressing show episode than this one.
Agreed.
So Dan's algorithm slurps up the previous week's show and then produces a list based off of some relational calculation that he makes, which
is that so?
He keeps very secret and private to himself. And this week it provided imaginary friend. So that's why we're discussing it. And that's what Dan is referencing.
So somehow our conversation last week about the visitor led us to imaginary friends.
Yeah. But, and we've fallen down the hole before.
Fallen down that hole.
We've fallen down. Isn't that a phrase of some sort? We've fallen down the hole before of trying to reverse engineer why the algorithm may have picked a particular episode.
Yeah.
No one will know.
It's mind-boggling.
And we cannot guess. Normally,
it'll be our secret.
Normally, the algorithm picks Deep Space Nine's past tense.
Yeah.
Episodes one.
Part two.
I think usually it's part two. I think this last week on the list, part two and part one.
Yeah,
both parts are on the list. Yeah. Oh. Well, I think it doesn't usually get part one there.
Pretty wild.
Pretty
weird, wild stuff.
Yeah, indeed.
As someone,
this is very strange.
Used to say, okay,
something's fishy.
All right.
Let's do it.
Not much else to discuss before we get into the.
There's no news.
Into the main meat of the show. No news. Real news 'em ups. We've got
letter 'em ups.
We've got a good second break fun 'em up. Which is I've gathered together a list of imaginary friends in fiction. So Jesus fucking Christ! <All right. laughs>
Jesse's not appreciating that one.
Dan looks so fucking delighted right now. Oh no! Well, I'm sure
now
we're
getting this guy.
We can expect a few more of those along the way. So tune your ears to that. But yes, I have cobbled together a list.
Chief O'Brien,
a list of imaginary friends in fiction. I want you both. I want the audience at home to start thinking about.
Oh, is this a game we're playing?
Not really a game. I just like more like, you know, think about it. We'll discuss it in the second break. I'm going to go through the list.
Okay.
And we'll ask you for your thoughts, and we'll see how many you came up with
your
on the list.
And
if you came
opinions.
Up with any that I didn't.
That sounds exciting.
No follow-ups this week. No mail-em-ups this week. But we do want to let our audience know. If you are so inclined and you wish to send us a message or a missive, you can do so by emailing us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. That's feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Or if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, send us an MP3 or go to itsgotstartrek.com/record.
Yeah.
You can record up to 90 seconds. We will play
90
it.
Seconds.
We may play it on the podcast.
Doesn't that make you happy?
Unless it's like super weird or something.
We probably will because we don't get that many, do we?
Yeah. They come in periodically.
Word.
Just for a little while.
Just for a little while.
Just for a little while.
Just for a little while. No one will know. Just for a little while. No one will know. It'll be our secret.
So I think
the girl's creepy.
Yeah,
I think we can get right into it. Imaginary friend.
Let's do it.
Dan, you've already touched base. I don't want to use touch base. I hate that term. You have already sort of.
Where are you going with this?
Laid the groundwork.
I have no idea where anyone's going with anyone.
Laid the groundwork is. It's getting there.
You're scaring me.
You've already started to scare us.
What I mean.
She
to
said say, they're going to come and kill everyone.
Yeah, they are.
What I mean to say.
Energy beans.
Is. You've already referenced your opinion of the episode. I think that is shared by many folks. This is not a bad episode. I think it's entertaining in its way. A lot of it comes down to the acting of the two main characters that we're following.
Yeah, they were pretty good, actually. The actors playing them.
It's another episode where you have something going on with Star Trek in the background.
It's very Star Trek.
Like one of the more recent episodes we talked about, you know, the last week or the week before was like that.
The only reason they really had Star Trek science-y stuff was just to sort of explain like Which is not unusual for Star Trek, but just to explain why the character...
This was something that was just sort of happened on the Enterprise, and, so, like, Worf was there, and so was Captain Picard.
And what Picard was like, Picard, it was one of those episodes where he wasn't absent, but he had, like, a very minimal role. Minimal role, but it was funny, because at the end, though, he still, like, busted in at the end and gave his Picard speech about, like...
Yeah, word.
He broke it down at the end, so even though he wasn't really
But you had, like, Guinan, he even had fucking Alexander.
Yeah. What I was saying is, even though you didn't have Picard for most in much of the episode, it's funny they still chose to include him in the sum-ups.
Yeah,
but yeah, they had Guinan. Yeah, it was weird that
was a bunch of
they just threw
people.
Alexander in there. That's interesting.
So
they needed a kid.
So we'll go over real
quick. But I thought the two actors playing Clara and Isabella.
Clara Sutter was played by Nolie Thornton, and she later would play Taya. In Shadow Play.
Okay, I
Deep Space Nine Shadow
that's
Play.
I knew I recognized her.
Now you know where she's from!
We just... piece of shit. All right, so we discussed Shadow Play in episode 170 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Holograms.
And that's the hologram. That's one of my favorite ones. That's
hologram.
Right. That girl is on this.
That's early in the period when Dan started introducing his crazy soundboard action. So
holograms.
That's a great episode to go. It's a great episode
hologram.
To watch. It's a great episode to go listen to.
Holograms.
It's got Star Trek. So go watch Shadow Play from Deep Space Nine. Then
hologram.
Go listen to episode 170 of the It's Got Star Trek.
Whoa, that's
podcast.
Way back. Dude.
Holo generator holograms.
And you'll hear some more of that. So yeah, that was Nolie Thornton as Clara Sutter. Shay Astor as Isabella. And I think she did a really great job playing a creepy, horrifying person.
Yeah. Who's actually a little snotty, too.
Yeah, she's snotty, dead-faced.
Yeah.
When
she smiled at that one
That
bar,
was so creepy.
Yeah, right.
Which I don't think is easy to do. I don't think it's easy to play that kind of dead-faced role. And of course, you have Brian Bonsall as... Alexander Rozenko,
totally.
He is interesting because he was most famous for being on Family Ties. He was like the youngest one on Family Ties. And he played Alexander. Most people, I don't know.
Wait,
I don't like critiquing a young child actor.
Mm-hmm.
But this was one of those episodes where it was a little tricky because he's acting against these two other, especially Nolie Thornton, who does such a great job as Clara. He was a little bit stiff and weird. It sort of accentuates it and it takes you out of the story a little bit. But still, it was cool to see him. And I like the inclusion of Alexander. Brian Bonsall, of course, has had some issues. He was arrested for abusing his girlfriend.
What, Alexander actor?
Yeah, I mean, as an adult, not contemporaneous to this episode.
No.
He was also arrested at one point for trying to, like, beat his friend with a bar stool or something like that.
Whoa, that's fucked up.
You're making all sorts of computer
noises. Brian Barstool Bonsall.
I'll turn the volume down.
What's going on over there?
I'll turn the volume down. Are
you searching for something?
Well, for some reason, I had in my head that Shane Sweet, who played Seven on Married with Children, and apparently was on Battlestar Galactica's spinoff series Caprica.
Oh, Caprica's great.
I thought he was played in... Wasn't there like 10 people who played Alexander? I don't think he did play Alexander.
There are different people.
But for some reason, I had in my head that he did. I don't know why.
But Brian Bonsall played Alexander for a bunch of these young Alexander when he was really quite young. But anyway, we'll get to that.
Frowning tigers aren't so scary.
Little teeny.
We'll Alexander. Get to all that. It is held up by the acting of these of these two young
women. He got involved in like domestic violence stuff lately?
Apparently, yeah. He was on probation for it, and then he violated
parole. Brian Barstool Bonsall.
He's like a punk rocker in Denver now. He doesn't consider... He's not an actor anymore. He considers himself a rock and roll musician, according to Wikipedia.
Punk rocker in Denver.
I can't speak to that, but... seems not to have been arrested in a good long while. So
that was really mean.
Good for him.
good for you, Brian Bonsall.
Want to help?
I'm sympathetic.
I'm making a cup for my father.
You see that fucking cup? Like, not even a Klingon's going to drink from that big ass cup.
I was going to say. I don't know if you want to talk
like,
about
it.
When
I say not even a Klingon, I mean, like, Klingon's like things that are big and gregarious or whatever, but like that cup.
Big and gregarious.
I guess gregarious is not.
Gregarious means you like talking a lot.
I know. But I mean, that's what. But like,
I know what you mean.
Of that mentality where it's like Klingons are like, oh, I'm drinking on my cups in the air, and I'm being gregarious with this giant, ridiculous.
bombastic. I was going to say that. Yeah, it's a bombastic cup.
Bombastic would have been better. Bombastic
may be fantastic.
Yeah. Hoop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doo.
Is that how that song goes?
I think so.
All right. Okay. If you want to get into it,
want to get into it, you got to get with my friends.
Okay. I was going to go in a different direction, but, you know, we're already talking about the ceramics class. We're talking about Alexander. So I want to get down to the brass tacks, as Jesse would say, when it comes down to this whole ceramics business, because none of this made any sense.
I'm making a cup for my father. Want to help?
So, okay. They're in ceramics. They're taking a ceramics class.
He was working on it for weeks.
Yeah, like, 2 weeks.
You don't take 2 weeks to make a ceramic.
No, yeah. That means you have a problem.
That doesn't make any sense. That's not how ceramics works.
That means you suck.
That doesn't even mean you suck. It means it would dry. It would dry.
Exactly.
You got to get it in the kiln before it dries.
Well, it was so thick that it probably took that long to dry. That thing was ridiculous. Do you think Worf appreciated it? Do you think he would have looked at it and just been like,
I think, you know how there's the whole
That's
kind
some of, airlock shit right
there's
there.
Like,
we're talking like throwing him out the airlock?
Throw the clay out the airlock.
Oh, I thought you meant Alexander. Well, because, okay.
Hey!
There is a long-running meme-ish type trope, or I should just say trope. that
meme-ish trope.
That Worf is a terrible father and hates Alexander because he's never hanging out with Alexander.
That was really mean.
He's always disappointed in him. He doesn't know how to deal with him. And that continues on into Deep Space Nine.
And then Alexander becomes like, gives us, like, because at first it's like, oh, he's just a kid. He's like trying to get along in this world. He's confused. But then as he becomes a teenager in DS9, he grows into his sort of worthlessness. Yes. Because in DS9, he's legitimately like, okay, now he sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because he was just on the, it seemed like he was just on the Enterprise for a little bit, and then he just went back to, like, Ukraine or whatever.
Yeah,
and, like,
to the Rozhenko.
And then he shows up later, like, when Worf is on.
And, like,
these ways
and he's right. actually,
I mean,
shitty.
His mother was murdered. Like shitty, I mean, he's had an unfortunate upbringing.
Yeah, that is true.
I was going to say, so is Brian Bonsall. I'm sympathetic to anybody who is a child actor in the 80s, especially a little child. I think it's hard to come out of that normal. So the ceramics class, he's making, like, everyone talks about, like, how Worf is this bad father. It's possible that this mug is what started all that. Maybe it was the first and most significant disappointment for Worf, where he's just like, he the kid comes back and the kid's like, here's this mug I made for you. And Worf is like, Jesus.
Right.
And then Alexander's like, it took 2 weeks.
It's like, oh God.
And Worf is like, that's not how ceramics works.
Right.
What's going on here?
You have brought dishonor.
Yeah, really.
You've brought dishonor upon clay.
Just clay like in general.
Father, how do you like my cup? Why aren't you drinking from my cup, Father?
With all his weird little spikes. And then at one point, she sticks a spike on.
Like on a random spot.
Yeah, but, and I noticed this on the second watch through, she sticks the spike onto a random spot. He looks at her like, no, dumbass, you got to make it in a row. But if you look at the cup, he's got one on the other side that's down in a random spot.
I didn't notice
spot.
That. I will have to go back.
He's gaslighting her.
He is gaslighting
her. Claire's being gaslit.
Alexander needs to
up and down
sort of whooping.
The hallways here.
It was really mean.
Yeah.
This whole ceramics business.
And those
was
spikes
confusing.
Didn't look like they were put on like very sturdily.
No.
Like you're supposed to like, they were just going to fall right off.
She put like a toothpick in there.
It was almost like when he got hit with that clay, he was just sort of asking for it anyway.
Hey!
he got hit with that clay and like, nobody seemed to be like really concerned about that because
like,
he was just like, hey, what's going on? But like
sort of a plot hole.
Like nobody believed like Clara's story, right? About like having an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
And first of all, Alexander goes, invisible people aren't real.
Right.
Like hell they aren't. There's invisible people all over the fucking place.
He's getting hit with fucking clay.
Right. There's people with telepathy. There's Q.
The Organians. He's got to have read about the Organians.
So there's that. But then when the clay comes out of nowhere, because there's nobody in that direction, nobody seems to say like, hey, you know what? You're right, Clara. There was nobody from that direction. Maybe you're right about this Isabella thing. Yeah. Who threw the fucking clay at Alexander?
Exactly.
They never expounded upon that. They never went further with that.
Yeah. I know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a funny visual gag, though.
I thought this was the Enterprise.
Well, that's
more
the
like
thing
not
is
much of a prize.
Yeah, yeah. For real.
Outer prize.
One thing I was thinking about is that, you know, we haven't really on this podcast, we haven't been paying attention to star dates as much. We used to pay attention to star dates more.
It's just kind of silly.
It is.
I used to write them down all the time in my notes, and I kind of stopped at some point.
Well, I think it's because you started
doing
the audio.
I write them down when they sound extra silly.
You started doing the audio stuff, which is probably taking your time and attention away.
Yeah, but I still take notes, and like writing the star date is pretty simple.
Do you think Jesse should be tasked with writing the star date down?
Yeah, Jesse, you're on star date duty.
I write them down in my TAS notes when we do TAS, because it seems to be more prominent.
What are you talking about? They're more prominent in TAS. It's like in almost every episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, but it's the way it like is presented. You notice it more.
All right.
It's less like background.
All right.
Okay. It's just in my opinion.
So did you? But you didn't write it down this time?
No.
Well, I
it's
did. Just eating some cookies. That's the ASMR.
I didn't take any notes.
Yeah, we were discussing before recording that maybe we should start putting out some ASMR content. Some It's Got Star Trek ASMR content.
It's not a cookie. It's
with
a,
some
it's
racy
a Belgian waffle some, butter crisp.
Maybe some sexy racy material.
Sexy,
sexy racy.
Sexy?
No, not sexy.
Sexy racy racist material.
No, God, get the fuck out of here.
I'm just okay.
Sabotage.
That's right. Okay. But
holograms.
But this star
holograms.
This star date was 45852.1. How would Picard say it?
That's absurd.
Star date 45852.1.
Thank you.
Which is equivalent to 2368.
Okay.
I'm just trying to. We should do that. We should do that more to help orient ourselves.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
We bounce around the whole Star Trek timescape, and
well, it's nice to know like what that means in like whatever regular time.
It's good to translate. Memory Alpha is a good.
I think that's
good resource.
I think that's a good mission.
The Gregorian, whatever the fuck, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
European time.
Did you guys ever have an imaginary friend?
Not really.
No, not that I can remember.
You didn't have an imaginary friend?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, it's not like I might have, like, ran around and talked to somebody who wasn't there, but, like, it's not like I ever thought.
But I wasn't friends with that motherfucker.
It always seemed like it was just something you saw on TV, but it was never, like, I never had the need for one.
I might have, like, to finish my sentence, I might have said stuff to someone who wasn't there as a kid and played pretend, but it's never like I thought like I had this buddy that was hanging around with me.
Right.
It was on the same line as like playing with like Ninja Turtles or something. You're just like making up a fun scenario. You're playing. It's like more like playing than it is like a friend.
Really?
You know?
Playing with what?
Playing with your friends. Playing friends.
No. What did you say?
Playing. I said it's more like playing than it is like having
no,
a friend.
But you referenced what were you playing with?
Like Ninja Turtles.
Oh. I thought we were going to get away with.
But rude.
I thought we were going to get through this episode without a Ninja Turtles reference, but we didn't.
No.
But rude.
Red alert. Red alert. Dismiss.
Yeah, imaginary friends. I also never had an imaginary friend in the concept that
Guinan had a Tarkasian razor beast.
I really so Whoopi Goldberg was the standout for this episode. To me, I don't know.
Yeah.
I always love Whoopi Goldberg as Guinan. She's always great, and she's had episodes where her role was much more significant to the plot and much more meaty. But I don't know. There was something about the way she performed this conversation with Clara in the bar. How sweet she was to let her in. How not condescending she was compared to our good counselor Troy. Dr. Troy, who I did like that we were seeing Counselor Troy be a counselor, because I always enjoy that.
I think she's real for you, and that is real enough for me.
I did not like that
I didn't like that line.
That line, I was like that's pissing me off, Troy.
It's like, because, that's not science.
And it was almost, I don't think they intended to do this, but because they have a scenario where Troy has to deal with this young girl who has an imaginary friend, and Guinan has to go through the exact same, like they both have to interact with this girl on the topic of the imaginary friend. you cannot help but to compare their different approaches.
Yeah, right.
And Guinan's...
Let's look under the bed.
Guinan's approach...
We'll make sure Isabella isn't anywhere around, okay? Did you see anybody?
Oh, wait, this is the one where I also didn't like this one.
In fact, I'll bet she doesn't come around as much anymore.
Yeah. I'll bet she doesn't come around. She like folds her arms. She's like, yeah. she doesn't need to be here. It's like, don't tell me how when my imaginary friend needs to leave. I'll tell you when my imaginary friend fucking leaves.
So when
damn.
When Troy later in the episode starts talking about how she's feeling guilty and she's like, oh, I think I'm taking something away from her. At first I was happy because I thought she was going to say like, yeah, I don't think I'm handling this right. Yeah. But that's not really what she was saying. She was saying like, I'm so good that she's going to forget her imaginary friend.
Yeah, right.
That's making me feel a little guilty that I'm so fucking good erasing this imaginary friend from this young girl's mind.
And it makes it twice as bad because she's not only is she not that good, she's the opposite. She's like you said, she's condescending.
Yeah.
She thinks she's all proud of herself. Like when she goes like, that's real enough for me. Which is this line.
Mm.
Oh.
ASMR, we're going to do some.
I'm going to do some ASMR.
Dane is clicking on it.
I think she's real for you. That is real enough for me.
When she says that, she smiles afterward like she's so proud of herself because she thinks she's doing this really great job. And like you said, like she feels guilty because she did this great job and she's afraid it's going to work too well.
Yeah.
But she doesn't realize she's being totally condescending and kind of shitty.
She really was.
I like
Starfleet.
Because when Clara went into the bar, Guinan, instead of being like...
I thought you were about to tell a joke.
It sounded like a joke.
When Clara went into the bar... no, Guinan could have all been like, you know, sit her down.
Get the fuck out!
She could have been like, you're
no kids!
She could have been like, you're in big trouble. Kids aren't supposed to be here. I'm going to call a counselor on you. But obviously, instead, what she did, she turned it around and was like, you'll be my guest. We'll hang out. We'll chit chat for a while. And then what I think happened off camera is what it was implied is that while she was talking to Clara and like getting to know her, she secretly like summoned Troy. I think that's what happened because Troy shows up, right?
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
but you know, that makes sense.
So I think like Guinan, instead of being like, sit here while Troy comes, she was like, instead was like, well, I'm going to secretly call Troy to get her to, you know, take her to a better place. See but that? In the meantime...
wait.
Well, Guinan doesn't want to go to the brig. For, like,
you can die with everyone.
Dan, were you implying that Troy was going to murder Clara? Take her to a better place?
No.
She'll be happy. She can run around with all sorts of other little girls up in heaven.
So instead of making it very obvious that she was like trying to like escort her out of there, she did it in this covert secret way where Clara was like none the wiser that Troy was being called because like Guinan used that opportunity to get to know her. You know, it was like, it was just really smooth and it was pretty neat.
No,
smooth like X-Lax.
Mm-hmm. Like X-Lax?
Yeah, you know, there's like smooth move X-Lax.
That Patrick's saying that because he has nothing to say to what I said.
No, I was adjusting my chair and it went all goofy. And I felt, you know.
So that means I had to like interrupt everybody to distract them from the fact that my chair's going
by
goofy.
The way.
Even though nobody would have noticed it anyways.
People would notice. People notice a lot more on podcasts than you might think.
It sounded like his chair got all goofy.
Yeah, they were like, oh,
his voice went like this and then it went down like this.
Oh, guys, I'm all down here, guys. Oh, what are we going to do?
My chair messed up, and instead of silently moving on, I'm just going to derail the whole thing.
Okay.
Hold on. I could have just like pretended it didn't happen, and no one would have noticed, and we would have had a normal conversation. But instead, I had to chime in with something irrelevant.
I could have been a contender.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me turn this off. Okay. All right.
You don't care about me.
All right. Okay.
But there was some confusion I felt with this whole imaginary versus real thing.
Yeah.
It was confusing. Like with Guinan, she goes, "You're not like the other grown-ups." Clara goes, "They don't think Isabella's real." And then Guinan's like, "Well, most grown-ups have a hard time with things they can't see." It's like, "Okay, so far so good." And then Guinan's like, "Their heads can get so full that they forget about the things that are important to you and me, like imaginary friends." Right there, Guinan is admitting that she like is telling her that her Clara goes, "You don't think she's real." And Guinan's like, "Oh, well, I have an imaginary friend too." So she never at any point actually agrees with Clara that they're real.
No, she's respecting her.
Yes, she's
by being honest with her own opinion but not treating her like shit.
Yes, and that is good, but like the point is like Clara keeps talking about, she's real, she's real. Nobody yeah. believes she's real. Yes. And neither Guinan nor yeah, Troy yeah. ever admit that she's real. But you're right. Sure, they're, yeah. they're expressing their opinion honestly and truthfully and saying, there's a difference between saying, like, I respect your viewpoint and you are right.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's kind of like when you say, like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Yes. Like, that's not a real apology. Yes, it's like, absolutely. Obviously you're angry and I'm going to say something to tell you that I hope you're not, I don't yeah. like the fact that you're angry, but it's not an admission of, like, I did anything wrong. The way that's similar to that is just like she's saying, I believe that you believe it, you know, that's kind of what she's saying, yeah. you know, and yes, duly she's showing respect about it, but it's just so interesting. There's this whole confusion between, because obviously Clara knows the difference between imaginary yeah. and real, you know, but there's this whole, like, they keep interchanging the whole real imaginary thing yeah. back and forth. And at one point in the episode, actually at the very end, the beginning of the episode,
you're saying the end or the beginning?
I'm sorry, the beginning of the episode. The
beginning of the episode.
When Troy and Clara are talking, and Troy's like, you know, you can draw me a picture. And
you said that like Charles Tripp Tucker.
You can draw me a picture.
DePaul, you can draw me a picture. Captain?
Where would I stay?
Oh, she goes,
maybe you could draw me a picture.
Okay, and that's when Clara goes,
when Clara goes, like, why don't you fuck off?
She goes,
I don't think she's real.
Right? So Clara right there says, you don't think she's real. But yeah. at the very end, Clara says,
she's real now.
She says that.
Yeah.
I don't think she's real. She's real now. I don't think she's real. She's real now. I don't think she's real. She's real now. I don't think she's real. She's real now.
It's a fae.
Oh, I gotta get that sound.
She is recognizing the distinction between her imaginary friend that she used to have versus this new manifestation. And I think when Isabel first shows up, she's confused by it. And she's trying to assert to them at the end. She's saying, like, no, now she's real.
Yeah, well,
you know.
But at the beginning, she straight up says,
I don't think she's real.
Being like,
You don't think she's real.
You don't think she's real. I think I know she's real.
No, she begins the episode by saying
she's real, and then she ends it by saying she's real now.
I wouldn't necessarily take it that way. I would say, like, you don't think she's real, but I'm, you know, she might still be questioning what her thinking is. By the end, she's found the confidence to assert the reality of this alien entity.
She would, at the beginning, then she's asserting that it's some kind of, like, she's like, it's imaginary, but it's real. I don't know.
Imaginary. It's Wookie.
It's some kind of, like,
Okay, I think it's time for a break.
Wait,
at the beginning, she's in some kind of purgatory between real and imaginary, where she says she's saying, you don't believe it's real. I think it's real, but not really real.
All right. So,
Dan's
just described something horrifying, like a horrifying mental purgatory for this young woman.
Chief O'Brien!
We do need to take a break. When we return from the break, we will continue this conversation about Star Trek TNG's fifth season episode, Imaginary Friend.
Got some kind of fun-em-ups.
Be right back. Okay, you wanna come back?
No.
You wanna come back?
Yes.
Come back? Jesse's seal of approval for coming back. Dan, are you ready to come back?
I accidentally bit myself.
Agreed.
All right, so Jesse's been fiending on some cookies. If you hadn't noticed this podcast, did you bite your tongue or did you bite the inside of your cheek? We're like, back, by the way.
The inside of my stupid cheek.
We're back from the break.
Oh, you bought your cheek. You bit your chalk. Bit your cheek.
You bit your cheek because you were enthusiastically chowing down on some biscotti cookies with the biscotti cream.
I was eating some kind of Twizzlers once and I didn't realize it, but I was like chewing on my lip while I was eating the Twizzlers and suddenly my lip was like four times the size and there was blood everywhere. It's I was like, oh man. I was just like jawing all over my lip.
Like, this is really good Twizzler for some reason.
I didn't even have Novocaine or anything. I was just like really into the Twizzlers.
Was it like a strawberry one?
For our international listeners who may not have this product available to them, Twizzlers are a red, long candy.
They're not to be mistaken with Red Vines, which are gross, taste like plastic.
They're not like Red Vines. They're better than Red Vines. But
it's like the main thing
people like about the strawberry licorice Twizzlers is that coppery bloody flavor. that's what you're looking for.
It's a wild flavor
from a good Twizzler. It's just slurping down some fucking iron.
It's weird that people refer to it as a strawberry licorice stick because there's no licorice.
There's
no
licorice. Yeah.
Licorice is disgusting.
It mimics the licorice.
It's just sort of the red version of the licorice.
Does anybody know the difference between root beer and sarsaparilla? Sarsaparilla is just less sweet, right?
Yeah, I think they're made of different roots.
But they're different roots. Yeah. But like they taste so similar.
What made you think of that, by the way? Since we were talking about,
I like licorice.
We were talking about
fuck you.
Well, damn.
What do you mean?
Both of you guys are always hating on licorice.
I don't hate on licorice.
It was really mean.
Talk about eating eggs and mayonnaise.
I was down in Williamsburg once. I got one of them licorice sticks that they sell stupid kids. It's like an actual stick. They're like, this is a licorice stick. You chew on it.
They put a dunce cap on
it. In colonial times, you just chew on it. You're like, oh, I'm chewing on a bitter fucking stick.
Yeah.
I paid $7 for this bullshit.
I like it.
All right.
We will forget this incident.
All right.
Our Scandinavian listeners,
will always remember.
for any of our Scandinavian or Central European listeners, you can send us, write us at feedback@itscotstartrek.com.
Then what?
We'll give you the address to send Jesse some of that salty licorice, the kind that's so salty that they have a health warning on it.
Then what?
It's like dangerous to eat it.
Then what?
All right. That's the licorice talk for the day.
Then what?
Okay, Star Trek.
Then what?
Actually,
and?
Not
well, you asked me why I brought up root beer and sarsaparilla.
Root beer.
Because, like,
root beer, you're like raspberry root beer?
Raspberry
root beer?
It's because we were talking about licorice and calling Twizzlers, strawberry Twizzlers, strawberry licorice sticks. And I was like, well, there's no licorice in strawberry strawberry Twizzlers, so why do they call it licorice? And that made me think of the supermarket, which made me think of the soda aisle where I buy this product where they sell root beer and they sell sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
And I was thinking about, like, well, that's interesting.
What about birch beer?
You were talking about how, like, sarsaparilla and root beer were different. I was just thinking about the different names for things and what they call things when they aren't really those things, like licorice sticks that don't have licorice, and how then it made me think of, like, well, Twizzler strawberry and licorice are two totally different things, but they're called the same thing. But then I was thinking sarsaparilla and root beer are two differently called things that taste very similar.
Sir, this is a Star Trek podcast.
What are you talking about?
This is very strange.
Okay. Let's get to our fun 'em up second break. Fun 'em up.
Red alert.
This is a classic red alert.
Red alert.
It is a good one. Riker's yeah. good. Riker's a small part in this episode, but all the Riker in this episode Riker. Is all good.
Real,
all yeah. good Riker.
It's all
the good stuff. Okay, so
any ideas?
I've pulled together a list of some prominent imaginary friends, imaginary characters from fiction.
Remarkable.
And so before I go through the list, I thought, Dan, Jesse, you could toss out a couple of thoughts. Some thoughts. No, you're thinking I'm saying thoughts, thoughts, but I'm not. I'm saying thoughts.
I have to admit, I've been more popular with women since I stopped asking them.
He does say poplier.
Isn't that funny?
Poplier? One more time.
I have to admit, I've been more popular with women since I stopped asking them to do that.
And for those who are slightly confused, that was not from this episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. That was from last week's episode, The Visitor, from Deep Space Nine.
Your self-control. Your self-control.
Isn't that a weird self?
And that self-control. That was from Voyager's Random Thoughts, which we talked about a few
Your self-control.
He's saying self all weird.
Your self-control. Yeah. Your self-control. Yeah, there are various Vulcan techniques which could help you increase your self-control.
All right. And again, you've done that before, and again I have to make the joke that Dan has not availed himself of any of these Vulcan techniques.
Of self-control?
Of self-control.
self-control.
Because you're currently not demonstrating any of it.
Love is the answer.
Okay. Imaginary friends in fiction. Can you guys think of any imaginary friends? You will, on the list, these are all recognizable. You will know the vast majority
of Mr. Snuffleupagus.
That's right! That's on the list!
Ah!
That is on the list. Mr. Snuffleupagus from Sesame Street.
What about Grimace?
No, Grimace? No, Grimace is real. Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Grimace is real,
this
baby.
Guy.
Mr. Snuffleupagus was an imaginary friend of Big Bird's imaginary friend until 1986, when a human on the show imagined him into reality somehow.
That's fucked up.
Because I think they were trying to, like,
I think it just became a group hallucination. There's something in the water in Sesame Street.
Like that dancing thing and the French dancing
The
craze.
Dancing baby at the beginning of the internet?
No, where everyone danced so hard they died. They danced for like 36 hours and dropped dead.
Is that the song? The
dancing fever of like 1518.
Is that the song? And we danced like a wave in the ocean. We danced.
That's what that song is based on. The dancing disease.
Is that how that song goes?
Agreed.
All right. No.
Like St. Vitus dance or something?
Yes, the St. Vitus dance.
And we dance like a... And we dance like a... and we danced like a wave on the ocean romance.
Did you look up the lyrics?
Like a wave on the ocean romance. Dan like is, a wave in the ocean romance.
Dan is refusing to play along with the imaginary friend game.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm really
imaginary
sorry.
Imaginary friend game.
I'm sorry, I keep getting distracted. Okay, I'm sorry,
super
I'll focus.
Simple. It's not even a game.
Okay, I'll focus.
All you gotta do...
I understand.
It's just
no, I don't think you do understand, because all you gotta do is name some characters in fiction that are imaginary friends. Jesse has done his part. He's offered up Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Grimace.
No,
Grimace is not an imaginary
friend. He's not real.
Grimace. No. In fiction. These are all fictional characters. Like, there's tons of fictional characters. Frodo is not real, he's not an imaginary character.
There's like some kind of imaginary bunny, bunny man.
Okay. There's Harvey. From Harvey. Harvey the bunny rabbit.
Harvey the one.
From the movie. Not Harvey the Wonder Hamster.
No.
That's a Weird Al thing. We're talking about Harvey
now,
from the movie Harvey.
Here's a
Jimmy Stewart. Isn't it Jimmy Stewart?
I believe so.
Yeah, he sees Harvey. He sees Harvey. There's a giant rabbit over there. No, that's Andy. More of a Barney Fife.
Now, here's a question that I don't know if there's an answer that we know yet to this one. I don't think this has an answer, but I'll ask it anyway.
I'm very nervous.
What about Drop Dead Fred?
That's on my list. Drop Dead Fred.
Is he imaginary,
Fred
though?
From Drop Dead Fred.
Is he imaginary, though? Because I think he's real.
Okay, so 2 points again. I know some.
I got two
I
points.
Know, I know. No.
I got 2 points.
No, there's often 2 points when it comes to Dan's utterances. Point number one, I agree with you, Dan, that I think some of the characters on this list are debatable. They are what the internet generally agrees are imaginary characters, but I do think some of them are somewhat debatable if there's some measure of magic or something involved,
measure
right?
Of
measure
madness.
Of magic.
And Drop Dead Fred is maybe that. That's point number one. Point number two is the way you were saying the way you were saying it made you sound crazy.
What did I say?
When you were saying...
we don't know if there's an answer to this or not.
Yeah, it did come across...
It was a little sketchy.
I don't appreciate the way you casually throw around the term crazy.
I don't mean crazy in the clinical sense. I'm not suggesting that you have...
In the biblical sense?
A mental disorder.
He's not able to do a diagnosis.
No, I'm not
such.
Diagnosed. I do not have the qualifications nor the motivation to provide... A clinical diagnosis. I just think you're nuts.
It's still questionable, though. Even though you don't mean it that way, you're still using it.
I mean it colloquially. Anyway, Drop Dead Fred was on the list.
As we know, just because you're using it colloquially doesn't make it colloquially. What was it? What's the thing that...
Cochlear implant? That's in your ear. That's in your ears.
What's the thing that they...
The cock sleeve?
Cock sleeve.
He's pointing at his throat.
Just as we know, if you use something colloquially, does not mean it's acceptable.
100%. Okay. Absolutely. I agree.
Well, who is Harvey the who?
Harvey the who? Harvey the rabbit in the movie Harvey.
It is clearly a bunny rabbit.
Yes. Okay, I get you. Cleverly played.
Cleverly it appears played. To be an energy vortex.
There's another imaginary rabbit. Can you think of the other imaginary?
Not Brer Rabbit.
No.
Not Bugs Brer Bunny. No. Not Roger Rabbit. Not Daffy Duck, who's a duck, not a rabbit.
Why can't I do it?
Please, anyone. Please, anyone.
Hey, is it dry in here? Are my lips all...
I can moisten those lips up for you.
Oh, no.
Please. Anyway, no, not Roger Rabbit. I'll give it to you. Frank the Bunny from Donnie Darko.
Then he's
sort of based on the Harvey guy.
Yeah.
And it is clearly a bunny rabbit.
Another rabbit reference is more contemporaneous, it's more contemporary.
Contemporary.
It's a more contemporary.
I like the rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
I like the rotisserie chicken with French fries.
Goes around and around.
Can I have the rotisserie?
All day long.
Can I
Super
have,
Mario.
Can I have
buy it? It's the rotisserie chicken's what they call a lost leader at the store. They sell it under cost to get people in the store.
Can I have a rotisserie chicken?
It's juicy.
with French fries.
It's like $4.
Don't get French fries at the grocery store.
Can I
get rotisserie chicken with French fries?
Unless you like no, you frozen go to the, and you cook
have
them.
We just no, you go to the restaurant. You go to the restaurant, get it.
We've just
What's another imaginary friend?
We've just moved the nonsense from the front of the show to the middle of the show. You realize this, right?
Yes.
It's just ongoing. Yeah.
All right. Another one I was gonna say, the more contemporary reference, also related to a rabbit, is Hitler in Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, shit.
The boy, the little boy.
It is clearly a bunny rabbit.
Has Hitler as an imaginary friend.
Yeah, that movie's wild.
Can you think of some other ones? What are some other ones? Other prominent ones?
Imaginary
movies,
friend.
Movies, TV shows, comics.
Imaginary friend. Imaginary
How about... Friend. There's Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Oh.
No, that was, well, that's questionable.
That's an imaginary friend. I don't think that's questionable.
I think that's just an, well.
Very good.
Or it's a different version of himself. He's still looking at, he still sees somebody. He's witnessing somebody. I think Tyler Durden from Fight Club is a good one.
I'll buy it though.
How about Bing Bong from Inside Out? Y'all seen Inside Out? You probably haven't seen Inside Out.
Yeah, I saw Inside Out, but
Inside's great. Bing Bong's the elephant guy.
Okay.
Bing Bong's the most depressing part of the whole fucking movie.
I only saw it once and it was really good, but I just don't remember. Yeah,
Bing Bong's a good one. What about Wilson from Castaway?
Wilson! No, he was actually objectified as a ball. He was a real thing.
So you don't count that as an imaginary person if Tom Hanks's character imbued that.
Well, it doesn't have to be
ball.
Tom Hanks, but like, yeah, the difference.
I mean, you know, I said Tom Hanks's character.
The difference is everyone else is made up in your mind. This is at least made up in your mind, a personality attributed to an object. So it's like it's a little bit more real.
I don't think your argument lacks merit, but I choose not to subscribe to it.
Well, that's fucked up.
I choose to subscribe to the imagination is still playing the primary role in animating the character, the personality of the imaginary person.
That was really mean.
No, I'm not trying to be mean. I think I would have no problem with somebody supporting your position.
Then what?
It's a valid position, and I think there's some evidence, some argument you could make towards that. But to my mind, I think you're using your imagination as an imaginary friend.
And?
All right. We'll finish up with this one.
Then what?
Hobbes from Calvin and Hobbes. I think that's the best one. Hobbes is a good one.
That's true.
Of course, you could argue, no, he's not imaginary. He's real.
How many
no,
people?
You couldn't. You can't. You can't.
No, he's real when the parents aren't looking.
How many people on that list?
Well, I guess Hobbes is like the stuffed tiger is real. So Hobbes is like more real than Isabella was before.
That's a Wilson argument.
Wilson!
Yeah, it's a Wilson argument. So Isabella was not originally the alien, but like Isabella, the alien entity must have sensed. They didn't really talk about that much how like
it went through her brain.
Like it went through her brain.
I dug the scene. Yeah. I thought it was very well directed how the little alien creature was floating around. First of all, it made me think of Lower Decks because Lower Decks has
they did that one.
They did the gag with the little energy creature floating in, except in this case Mariner saw it and grabs it and forces it to make stuff for her. I thought that was really well done where it was exploring the ship and trying to see which type of person should I get into, I guess, get connected to. So, and it showed us some funny things because we get to see some funny sort of banal conversations. And then there's that whole scene with Crusher and Ogawa, Nurse Ogawa.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And it's funny because we just don't see that kind of conversation between them, but we know they're
no problem.
They're close friends and professional, you know, they have a good professional relationship.
But Crusher's all just like probing her for like
Crusher.
So what happened
Crusher
on her, what
wants
happened
Ogawa
on the
to get fucking laid.
Yeah, it's she
like,
is.
It's like he wants to go to Ryza. Yeah, you should go to Ryza. Yeah. I'm not going to go to Ryza.
She's like, it's uninhibited there. It's like, oh yeah, you better go there and go buy this super sexy little Creek River thing, you know? And Beverly is straight up like telling her to
and
fuck.
And the scene ended with Ogawa being all like, ooh.
She's not.
We've never seen Ogawa like
she's
that
no
before.
Christine Chappell.
I'm not so sure how to interpret that.
Well, she doesn't go to Ryza on a, you know.
Well, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying.
She's,
you're right.
She's more demure.
More
demure.
Okay, how many, guess which phrase they said six times in this episode?
Oh, good. I love these games. They're back.
Yeah.
They're back. Now that the actor's strike is over, Dan can get back to the whole making up game.
There was a phrase they used prominently in this episode.
And this is the phrase that pays.
It's
In this case,
it's
if we guess it, we win.
Yeah,
we win money from you. You're gonna give us $20.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
But we have to guess it. There's no clues.
It's like maybe it's less of a phrase and more of a term, like terminology, like a glossary term. But it's two words.
Filament.
It's two words.
Like a subspace filament.
It's two words. It's like something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Crystalline entity.
Is it a techno babble?
Nah, not really. Though there was some good techno baggle. Baggle.
The term better not be imaginary friend.
No, this was a great. Speaking of techno babble, this was a great techno babble scene.
In order for the lateral sensors to complete their scheduled observations, additional processing time will be required.
We could steal a couple of hours from the engineering team while they're recalibrating the thermal interferometry scanner.
Will 2 hours be enough time to complete the high-resolution series on the neutron star?
No problem. We'll just double up the main sensor bandwidth while they're freeing up the lateral units.
Okay, so you know what's brilliant about that?
That was great.
And this is where TNG did it better than Voyager. Yeah. When I hear that, it all makes 100% sense to me. It makes 100%. I know exactly what they're saying.
They figure out a way to say it.
They're talking about rerouting limited resources. This is no different than what happens in all sorts of, like, you have to task, you know, it's like with the Hubble telescope or whatever. Everyone's going to take turns and you're like, okay, here's a good opportunity when this team is working on this thing that means that this sensor frees up. So we're going to use that. It all makes perfect sense to me. When they did something similar on Voyager, you'd just be like, what?
It's just the case.
TNG got that shit down.
It's just the cadence of it with like Geordi being like, and Data's like, well, blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah.
Very good actors.
They sound like they know what they're talking about.
But do you give up? Do you give up what phrase, what two word phrase?
Are there any, you haven't really provided a clue. You said, tell us the phrase. And then you said it's more of a term.
It has to do with like the B plot, the Enterprise plot, not the.
Is it a thing? Is it an object?
No, it's something.
Is it a verb? Is it a reason for the season?
It's a reason for why the ship is having problems.
I like Jesse's just shouting.
There's no way you're.
He's just like crystalline ebony. There's no way.
There's no way you're gonna get it. You give up.
Okay, wait.
Come on, dude.
So you presented us with an impossible task.
No. Okay,
why do you always do this?
It has to
do, or you just not have faith in us?
I don't have faith in you. It has to do with... It's not my fault. No, I did pick something kind of obscure. It has to do with why the ship was slowing down.
Because of the drag?
The drag coefficient...
The drag coefficient.
Is that really how many times?
The drag coefficient. The drag coefficient. Drag coefficient.
Makes it like four times.
Dan's already told us. They said it six times.
Six times.
And what Dan has done there is a trademark Dan thing to do. Which is just a play live. And now he's going to do another trademark Dan thing, which is going to do the same thing over over again. And it's somehow.
Ask my daddy, you better leave us alone.
That's my daddy.
You better leave us alone. What about when Troy goes?
No. Ask my daddy, you better leave us alone. She said they're going to come and kill everyone.
What about?
Like yogurt and raisin salad, chocolate chip pancakes, purple omelets.
Why don't you mix the purple omelets with some of that other business?
It's hard to do it on
with
this.
With like
on
Isabella,
this.
They're making purple omelets.
Because remember, you can't play two sounds simultaneously on this program. So it's like if I hit two things at once, it just fucks it up. So.
Yeah, but you can play them in succession.
It's really hard.
Ask my daddy, you better leave us alone.
What was some of that other stuff you were playing earlier?
Because you ran away from me.
Drag coefficient on the ship.
Drag coefficient.
So dumb. Why am I laughing? See, I'm encouraging.
Captain, I'd like to stay here for a little bit. Collect some samples of the gaseous matter.
Samples.
Dude. Collect your samples, Mr. LaForge.
Where'd you get those sounds from? Did you make those sounds?
Yeah, Dan,
I didn't know. I did not record those sounds.
He recorded those sounds himself. Those are Dan's farts. He sells them.
I'd like to stay here for a little bit.
Sells them on
collect
CD.
Some samples of the gaseous matter. See what it tells us.
But you can pirate that shit too. You don't have to buy them.
Pirate fart sounds? Is that what you
Dan's like, I'm not paying for farts.
Are you a fart pirate?
This is ridiculous. I'm Clara Sutter.
Star Trek.
Miss Sutter. Miss Sutter.
Hey, Dan.
Miss Sutter.
Hey, Dan. Dan, who's your best friend?
Am I supposed to get what you're talking about?
No, who's your best friend? Because Isabella, Clara was all like, it's hard to make a best friend. It takes a long time to make a best friend. So how about this? How long does it take? How long do you think it takes Dan to make a best friend?
I thought we were best friends.
And I don't mean like cobbling together some sort of golem that you animate with the sort of spirit of malice. I mean, the standard
do
way.
Do you do that?
I'm saying, because with Dan, I have to be careful, because if I say, how long does it take to make a best friend, Dan could plausibly interpret that to be like, oh, you mean cobble together a golem or make a robot?
Program
an AI.
No, you're
I mean, the colloquial.
You're accusing me what I was accusing you before of like.
Heading it off at the pass.
Oh, we didn't have this discussion on this episode, but talking about hypotheticals and like me offering a hypothetical and then someone else, instead of answering the hypothetical, they ask some irrelevant question. Now you're accusing me of the same thing.
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just covering all the bases. How long do you think it takes to make a best friend?
It takes time.
How much time?
You should write like greeting cards.
I know, right?
Like the front of the card would say, how much time does it take a best friend?
How long does it take to make a best friend?
How long does it take to make a best friend? Then you open up the card and it just says, it takes time.
Yeah.
It has a picture of a clock signed, love Dan.
Yeah, it makes you think. It makes you think something. Yeah.
All right. But anyway, I was thinking that because it was funny, because it's like these best friends thing. Everything's about this, the Clara wanting, not only wanting to have a friend, but to have a best friend.
Right, a best friend.
Maybe we can be friends.
We get to be friends in the end.
We were best friends.
Oh, man.
I thought we were best friends.
There's this whole Isabella thing, like, was she manipulating Clara or was she actually looking from a child's point of view, was kind of confusing. Because at the end, Picard did straight up say, like, you're looking at this from a child's perspective.
Exactly.
He goes
from a child's point of view.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so is she looking from a child's point of view, or is she manipulating Clara? Because she gets mad at Clara for ignoring her, right? Presumably because she wants to get into engineering and get the energy. She's on a mission. But she seems genuinely offended, like Clara is being a bad friend. Yeah. And there's several points in the episode where she's doing peer pressure. She's like, come on, Clara. She's like,
just for a little while, no one will know.
She's like trying to get Clara to do something. And in your head, it's like, oh, she wants something. She's trying to get the engineering.
Clearly she wants to investigate the ship. She's keen to go to an engineering and particular to learn more about how to slurp
the
energy. I do think
now I don't care about me.
But then with Troy, this is something they didn't really follow up on too much. When she knocked over Troy's hot chocolate,
her watery hot chocolate,
her watery
Troy's famous watery watery hot chocolate, watery fowls.
Hot chocolate. I'm sure the cake's fine.
She knocks over the hot chocolate. We don't really find out why Isabella does it. All we can assume is that Isabella
just to aggravate just Troy.
Because like, why is Isabella being all petty and like with with Troy?
Well,
I was gonna try to get. And so like, it was interesting that they never followed up on that. So like I said, we're to assume that she's actually pissed off because she's pulling these petty maneuvers like I'm gonna fuck your shit up, yeah. But like so. But she's also manipulating Clara. And at the end of the episode, and at one point, she's like, I'm glad we're best friends, which you could say is either she's serious and being legit, or because that was one of the few times when she says, I'm glad we're best friends. That's the one time she didn't seem like a little snot, you know? Like, she seemed like
she
was...
Well, they get to be friends at the end.
And at the end, exactly right. Yeah. And at the end, they become friends.
You have to reset everything.
But and then,
that's what I'm trying to say is that's the problem with this episode is it's enjoyable, it's fun, it's memorable, but there's a lot of issues where we don't know what the motivation for these people, like we don't even know what a hint of the motivation for Isabella and the alien creatures in general until the very end of the episode, and it all comes in exposition.
Yeah,
and even then, it's like, okay, are we to understand? I guess it's fair to make the assumption that as the alien that became Isabella is floating around and looking at the various people, we can get the idea that she goes, that alien goes into Clara because Clara has this pre-existing imaginary friend concept that this alien can then map on and figures it can take advantage of that. Okay, I get that from a sci-fi concept. That's cool. That makes sense. But then are we like you were saying, Dan, are we to understand, does the alien think like a child because it went through a child's brain?
Is it like an actual child's body, or is that just some sort of like illusion it made up or what?
Or is it that it's trying to manipulate and it's just not that smooth about it, so it's being a dick about it and with all this like weird gaslighting of Claire and stuff maybe gaslighting is not the right term. Maybe just straight up abuse, just abusing Clara.
Care about me.
If you want to be friends with me, you have to do this fucked up bullshit. You know that. You know everyone's run into that from time to time. But they didn't narrow it down,
and specifically at the end, Picard is like, "Oh, you're looking at it from a child's point of view."
And they did not hint enough at what the eventual resolution would be, which was, "Oh, these aliens want to slurp off of the." The TNGs like Bussard collectors or whatever. I want to slurp off your engines. We know she's interested in going to engineering, but that could be for any number of reasons. It would have been interesting if there were hints laid down along the way to say like, oh, the aliens are interested in the Enterprise's energy somehow. Or that at least in retrospect, you could be like, oh, I get it. I get why Clara or why Isabella was motivated to do the things she did in the order she did them, as opposed to, yes, she's just an alien sort of haphazardly walking around the ship, fucking with this poor girl's life, fucking with Alexander for no particularly good reason. Jealous or what? A child would be jealous.
It's like, is she on a mission, like a collection mission or a mission of mischief? Yeah. Like, it's like, seems like both.
Then
jealousy, her emotions got involved, which could be understandable if she took control of what we knew to be an actual like girl's body and or a person's body and like. You know, and that was affecting how they behaved.
Even the mechanisms of the apparition didn't entirely make sense because it's like, is she limited to only appearing within some sort of geographic context of Clara? So that's why she's pissed off because Clara won't go to the places she wants to go.
Oh, yeah.
Or can she actually go around places?
Right. That was confusing too.
We assume the former, but it's never 100% clear.
Because she can go through walls and people's brains. Like, why can't she read the shit?
I think it's time for a break.
It's time for another break. Oh, God, but thank you.
How come I could see you?
Jam eaters.
Thank you, Isaac.
You put grape juice in eggs.
I know. We're nothing but a bunch of jam eaters.
You put grape juice in eggs.
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 Bunch of jam eaters.
You put grape juice in eggs.
Bunch of jam eaters.
You put grape juice in eggs.
Bunch of jam eaters.
You put grape juice in eggs.
All right, we have
a chance. She said they're going to come and kill everyone.
We do have to take a break for real. We'll be right back.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're back. Hello.
Steady as she goes.
Hello, this is It's Got Star Trek.
Hello.
This is episode 225 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
There was a line.
Talking about imaginary friend.
We were talking about the energy sucking from the ship. But then there was when she zapped Troy, and then Troy wakes up in sick bay. Troy goes, she was 11, maybe 12, blonde hair, Clara. And then Crusher goes.
Yeah, she zapped the shit out of Troy.
And Crusher goes, Clara's sleeping. She's going to be fine. And then she goes, her bioelectrical processes were severely disruptive. It's as if the energy were pulled right out of her body, referencing Troy, actually, when she said that. So apparently the aliens
I'll give them credit for that hint.
So not only
but
did
it's a late in the show hint.
What I'm saying though is not it, I was what I was confused about is it seemed like they were trying to suck energy from the shields, but apparently they can suck energy from anything because she was like as if the energy were pulled out of her body. So can the aliens suck energy from humans in the same way they suck energy from shields? Can they
vampires?
Can they get energy from anything? Because they seem to imply that it was the shields, but they could probably suck it from the human's body.
They sucked it out of beta zeds.
You keep saying suck it.
No, I mean, but like, I wasn't clear on
clear.
Like, why did they need to specifically suck from the shields?
They didn't specify.
Just the shields had the most energy.
Look, they just sucked.
I'm fine with the basic concept. It's like, cool, okay. They're like, oh, this is a novel and tasty. Like, they should have pushed harder the analogy the analogy that I think they're trying to get at here, which is they're slurping around on their the equivalent of like some moss and lichen, and then all of a sudden some like big meaty wild boar comes in. They're like, oh, this is great. This is like much tastier, much more dense, concentrated energy. And that's great. Like in the last 30 seconds of the episode, you're like, oh, okay, I understand. Now I get what's going on. You can still have the mystery, but like lay down some of the breadcrumbs along the way so that it actually, you know, it kind of makes sense in the end, instead of just being sort of like deus ex machina. It's not really that, but you know, just sort of plop in the explanation right at the end.
And the whole concept of these like nebula hairs, these plasma strands, like I thought that was a cool idea. Yeah. And I thought like the way they displayed it, it looked all awesome. The problem is it's like, it's a pretty creative idea for a concept that wasn't at all developed. I understand that it wasn't meant to be developed. It was just supposed to be like, this is what they need. But the thing
it'd be better if it were more developed. Well, I think.
But yeah, because it was such a cool, neat thing they brought up. It's like, what do these plasma strands do? And they never talk about it. Like I said, they don't need to talk about it because that wasn't the purpose, but it seems like they put they created this interesting idea that they just sort of let die on the vine because like, now I want to know what these plasma strands are.
Now, Dan, would you have wanted this episode to be a two-parter or an all-seasoner?
I was
fine. Would you want this to be stretched out into a whole season?
No, I was fine with... What I would prefer is if they took that plasma hair idea and like made it its own episode separate from like maybe make a whole series based around that alien
spin-off
of the aliens.
About the plasma hair aliens.
Yeah, and this would just be an introduction episode. So it wouldn't be a two-parter or a season long. It would be a spin-off.
This shared some
where do you get this stuff?
Some similarities to
you
the
better leave us alone.
To the Strange New Worlds episode with all the Fantasyland stuff. You know, no spoilers about what happens in that, but there's a, you know, there's a nebula with a fantasy creature, and there's some fantasy imaginary stuff.
There's a nebula. There is a nebula.
There were 47 million strands.
Out in space.
You know, 47 million of those energy strands doesn't seem like that much.
I thought you were about to start singing Rent.
No, I was not. When you think about
he's
it.
Trying to get you that wrench.
When you think about the 47 millions of strands of energy plasma covering that much space, that actually probably isn't that much. You'd think there'd be like trillions or something. 47 million?
Billions,
more like 47 gajillion.
This is the early 90s. This is 1992.
Maybe they were really big strands.
They couldn't handle so many numbers.
Yeah, they didn't invent. They didn't have as big numbers back in 1992.
Yeah, they didn't come up with as many numbers.
Yeah, we have bigger numbers nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she's real. She's real now. I don't think she's real. She's real now.
That all being said, you know, I think there are some issues for character motivation. I think there were maybe too many cooks in the kitchen, because if you look at
too many cooks.
If you look at so this episode, you know, I like to see who the episodes were written by. Often they're written by one person or two people. This one is teleplay by Edith Svensson and Brandon Braga. Story by Jean-Louise Mathias, ampersand Ronald Wilkerson, Richard Flegel. And I say ampersand Flegel because Jean-Louise Mathias and Ronald Wilkerson, they're a writing team. When there's an ampersand, that means they're a writing team. When it's and, it means that person also contributed to the writing, but not as part of a predetermined team, like with the writers union, that they work as a team and they're like on file as a team. So
we're really dangerous.
So it's really funny to read this. It's like story by Jean-Louise Mathias, ampersand Ron Wilkerson, and Richard Flegel.
Oh, that is confusing.
So basically, the point being,
Flegel.
This idea, this idea went through many brains, and they're probably each person involved or each unit of writing unit, because like I said, Jean-Louise Mathias and Ronald Wilkerson are a team. They all had their own thing going, and they probably were stretching, moving it in one direction or another. It kind of feels like the final story has like cobbled together different directions and just sort of like tried to get it, you know, into one coherent thing, and it's not quite there. They did not quite get the motivations of the characters down right. I get Clara's motivations. That's what I think what was done very well, is they set up the story of a young woman who moves around a lot, and as a
young
result,
girl, not really a young woman,
young girl, whatever, young girl.
Lady.
When you say young woman, you think of like maybe like I don't know, 20s or something.
I think it's fine to say young woman.
Okay. I mean,
that's regardless. You get what I'm saying?
I'm just saying. It just seems, I don't know.
A human person who has to move around a lot because their parents' job necessitates it, which makes me wonder what the hell Ensign Sutter's is like. Is he good? Is he shitty? Like, why is he moving around? Why is he getting reassigned so
much? He looks really old for an ensign, too.
He's got a weird-ass hairline. Did you notice his hairline? Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's wearing a wig or what, but there was something weird about his hair.
Is that a wig or what?
In certain shots in particular... no offense, Ensign Sutter. You know, you do you with your future haircut. But it was weird. But I did like and appreciate
go back to the academy
the
weirdo.
Setup of the story. I was sympathetic and believed in the idea of a young girl having some issues of isolation, and one of the reactions to that isolation potentially being creating an imaginary friend to interact with.
It's always listen to the grown-ups.
I can buy that. Mm-hmm. I can buy that, and that was believable. Some of the other stuff was a little bit more confusing and underdeveloped.
I like that Worf like was charmed by Isabella and Clara running around having fun. Like Worf has never been charmed in all of Star Trek except for that one time. Yeah. I think it's the only time.
It's very, very rare. Yeah. I also thought Michael Dorn did a great job.
Yeah.
Again, Michael Dorn, Jonathan
Miss Sutter.
He's very small parts, but they did a good job.
He pronounces the T's.
Miss Sutter.
Miss Sutter.
Yeah. Miss Sutter.
I'm Clara Sutter.
Miss Sutter.
I'm Clara Sutter.
Miss Sutter.
See, he really pronounces it. That's a Klingon way of pronouncing T's.
It is.
Totally, dude.
It is the honorable way to do it.
Man, that was fucked up when
Man. I'm really looking forward to what you're going to get to.
When Isabella, when she goes to Claire, she goes like,
"You can die along with everyone else."
That's a fucked up line to say to a kid.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it shows a shot of Claire and she's like crying and like
she's
all
terrified.
Absolutely terrified. I was like, oh my God. That part was kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
That was a little hard to watch. But nasturtiums. They were planting nasturtiums.
Is that a plant?
Apparently. It's a nasturtium.
Is that a real thing, Jesse?
Yeah.
Sounds made up.
It's as real as rarefied gas, baby.
Oh, no.
They're an annual plant with bright edible flowers that have a peppery taste.
Edible flowers.
Ah. Now, so they're growing something practical.
Who eats those things?
So, and Claire was all teaching Isabella how to do it. She's like, now they need to be watered, but the baby seeds are very small, so we mustn't give them too much drink. Mustn't. She says mustn't.
And
like,
drink.
She's like fucking Anne of Green Gables or some shit.
Now, Dan. Do you think she's Anne of Green Gables? Do you think we're intended to think that she's Anne?
Mustn't.
No.
Is that how Anne of Green
I think
Gables?
I was very clear with how I worded my sentence.
Like
as if she's.
Do you think we're meant to think of fried green tomatoes?
You're purposefully misinterpreting. I was very clear in what I said. I didn't say we were meant to think that. I said as if she's like talk like mustn't. Who says mustn't? Nobody says mustn't.
I say mustn't.
Especially in the future.
They
I say mustn't.
19th century Canada.
We mustn't do that. We mustn't make our mothers cross. You know, it's like, you don't say that shit.
I mean, I would say that almost every day of my life. We mustn't make mother cross.
His mother's European.
No.
We will forget this incident.
Dan, earlier you were mentioning Guinan's Tarkasian razor beast. Which was an awesome
Tarkasian razor beast.
Awesome description.
It is clearly a bunny rabbit.
Although it was kind of funny because she described it one way, but then towards the end, I was thinking that Guinan was. It almost sounded like she was describing Totoro from the film My Neighbor Totoro.
Totoro
by Studio Ghibli, directed by Hayao Miyazaki.
When you think of Studio Ghibli, do you ever think of Thanksgiving because it's like Studio Ghiblets?
Kinda.
No, not on this end. But I don't have giblets. I don't have giblets at Thanksgiving.
Okay. I don't either.
Do you eat giblets at Thanksgiving? Do you eat the giblets?
It's part of the gravy. Yeah, gravy has giblets in it.
Only if you put them in there.
Yeah. If you put them in there. But I'm saying like it's not uncommon to eat.
Yeah, but you put a bunch of other shit in the gravy too, and so I'm not thinking of the individual component parts of the gravy, I guess.
I mean, I'm not saying you like eat spoonfuls of giblets. I'm saying like it's you do consume them. It's not unusual to consume them as part of the gravy.
When I think
they're little chunks in the gravy.
When I think
you ever put the gizzard in?
Yeah, I've had gizzard.
You know who's a good music is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh yeah, that's not bad.
What do you mean?
I mean King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
What do you
mean?
They
produce some good tunes.
Tunes.
Like what?
Like well, you'd have to go do it like a YouTube search for King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
We will forget this incident.
No, don't forget it. You can go to YouTube and type in King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Is anybody there?
I mean, the Google search is there.
With their
with their little AI. You know, the little AI friend where it's like, these are AI-generated results. Don't trust them.
No.
Okay.
Relic.
No, I mean, now I got to back out of this whole thing.
No.
King Gizzard, Lizard Wizard, and then you're talking about gizzards and Thanksgiving.
It's quite a hole you all have done.
And it's like, yeah, I'm not thinking about that. I think no, Studio Ghibli. When I think of Studio Ghibli, I do not think of giblets. I think about giant human
gravy.
Giant human pig monsters gorging themselves on delicious-looking food in like a nightmarish scenario.
And then do you think of the movie Willow then?
I've only
seen Willow once all the way through.
Yeah, same
and every
here.
And
I'm not a big fan.
I've tried to watch it like subsequently after that. I've been like, oh, I'm gonna watch Willow. Yeah. It's gonna be so red. And then I get about halfway through. Yeah. I'm just like, oh,
I like
God,
to watch Willow and eat a big bag of licorice while I'm watching it.
Jesse's got some verbs.
You're scaring me.
I got nothing against Willow. It's just not. It's
Jesse,
not my.
Jesse
not
has
my
some
thing.
Fucking. That was some attitude right there.
Next week he's just gonna be fucking flinging chunks of licorice and raw gizzard at your face.
Gizzard,
that's your face.
Can you only communicate by threatening a small child?
It was funny that they did the whole red eye thing, right? Like,
she
was
scary
already
Star Trek.
We already knew she was like
Isabella.
A thing.
She was already terrifying.
Yeah,
like she was scary already without
just
having
for a little while.
The red eye.
No one will know.
She didn't need those eyes. She already had like the cold look.
Yeah, that dead cold look.
Yeah.
And the other thing I had a question about was there's this tendency in TV, not just Star Trek, although it does seem to happen a lot on Star Trek, and maybe it doesn't happen as much nowadays, but certainly in the 80s and 90s, where they make kids like less talented than they need to be. And we already touched base a little bit
on the Alexander
and the pot, you know, the ceramic stuff, the mug he was making. But look at when you look at that scene and you look at all the art that the kids are making from the clay and it's some bullshit. Yeah, it's some real fucked up bullshit. And I have kids. And I've seen other people's kids. They're not making stuff that's going in the Louvre, but it's like
they can make stuff.
They can make a fucking bowl, you know, or like a cup shape without making it.
Well, it's the same reason.
Do these people not have children? Why are they making these children all look crazy? Well, these are future children.
It's future children. It's the same reason Troy was all like,
I think she's real for you. And that is real enough for me.
Just like talking down. It's like, it's not Troy who's like condescending the character. It's the writers just don't know how to talk to kids. And they don't know like that kids are more talented than they actually make them out to be. They just assume kids are like just these dumb little creatures.
Do you think that it's like the kids are just getting too much radiation or something on the ship? And
maybe they are dumb.
Brains are going a little weird.
Well, why wouldn't the adults have weird brains? Does it only happen to unformed brains?
Maybe it's an unformed brain thing.
Maybe it's an unformed brain thing.
It could be an unformed brain thing.
You're scaring me.
But that I found that peculiar. Overall, you know, a few criticisms here and there, but it was, I think, a very Star Trek episode.
Totally.
It feels both stories are extra super Star Trek, and I think that's most acute when Isabella's
is like in the
Arboretum that looks all fake and silly and Star Trek-y, and she's all like, ah, look at me, I'm an alien, and I'm a girl.
Look at me.
look at me. I'm gonna do some stuff.
Wait, is this part?
The emissions from your graviton field generators are far richer than our normal sources of energy.
She took a breath in the middle of that. She was like,
wouldn't you?
I did too, and I wasn't even saying the line.
You can die along with everyone else.
Yeah. Eventually.
Eventually that will happen. You think the other girl even knows what the hell she's talking about when she's all like...
Who do you mean?
Clara.
Clara, yeah.
Clara.
Clara.
Miss
Sutter.
I'm Clara Sutter.
Miss Sutter.
Isabella?
Here's something I'm going to have to call Star Trek out on because I'm smart enough to use Google. Star Trek Data goes, the rotational period of the neutron star is 1.35 seconds, to which Geordi goes, that's a bit on the long side. I typed into Google because I have skill and I can type things into Google, the average rotational period of a neutron star. And according to Wikipedia, neutron stars are known Neutron stars are known that have rotation. Well, first of all, this is poorly.
Well, we know you can type. No, we're not sure if you can read.
No, no, it's not. No, this is what it. No, this is what it says, which is why I'm now questioning the Wikipedia article, because the sentence says neutron stars are known that have rotation periods of about.
That sentence makes sense. What you've just been reading so far is grammatically correct.
Wait.
Oh,
a neutron star is the.
Just keep reading. Start from the beginning. Read it again. Just clear your mind and read the words.
Older? No, it's the summary is actually different than what's on the page. That's weird. Because the Google summary says neutron stars are known that have rotation periods from about 1.4 milliseconds to 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's a perfectly grammatical
neutron
regression.
Stars are known.
Neutron stars are known that.
Oh, yeah, that's weird, though. That's a really weird.
It works.
It's weird.
I'm digging it.
That's not how you. That's,
it. Well, okay. People don't speak like that.
No,
I
just
spoke like Sam Neill for some reason.
Okay, that's a weird way.
Do you see?
Because
do you see?
It's like, well, I get what it's saying. It's like there are neutron stars are known. We're aware of such.
Neutron,
that,
yes.
That have these properties.
Yes.
But it would make more sense to say neutron stars are known to have rotation periods. That would make more sense to me.
No, but they're saying are known that, in other words, we know these specific neutron stars.
Yes.
Neutron stars are known.
I know,
that
I understand
have
that.
Displayed these
I understand.
So what you're
that.
Saying is a slightly different sentence.
I know.
It may say a similar thing, but it's slightly different.
You should write
I think
your
it's
own
more, I think
science
it's more
articles.
Clear. I think what I say is more clear. But you should write
your own articles.
When you click on the article, when you go to Wikipedia, it doesn't even actually have that sentence. It's one of those things where when the Google search pulls up the summary and it's not actually in the page.
Are you looking at the AI summary?
No, it just says it's the Google summary.
Generated by AI?
It doesn't say generated by AI. Oh. It says neutron stars are known that have rotation periods of neutron stars.
Anyway, what was your point? Something about Star Trek's wrong
known,
about something?
Yeah, are known. Wait a second. Neutrons, it says it found it
Come
somewhere.
Come on, Dan.
Neutron stars are known that, okay, it is in this, it is in it. It is in the article. It says, neutron stars are known that have rotation periods from about 1.4 milliseconds to 30 seconds. Okay, with that said, 1.4 milliseconds to 30 seconds.
All right, so what does Jordy say?
Data says the rotation period of this neutron star is about 3.... The rotational period of the neutron star is 1.35 seconds. Keeping in mind, there's ones known to have between 30
milliseconds. Which is
actually
shorter.
It's shorter than your average, right? To 30 seconds. And Jordy's saying that's a little bit on the long
side. I think we might have to give up on this whole Star Trek thing.
Yeah, that was fucked up. Maybe they just didn't know that back then. Maybe they'd only found ones that were 30 milliseconds back then. Because it was in the 90s.
Yeah, all sorts of strange shit was going on in the 90s.
Yeah, all sorts of strange shit.
All sorts of strange shit.
All sorts of shit that you don't even want to know about.
Fried Green Tomatoes came out, 1991, I think?
I don't care.
I think Shawshank Redemption came out 1994?
Along with Forrest Gump.
Jurassic Park, 1993?
Oh, man.
What is that? The Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Yeah, Forrest Gump's not a good movie. I used to think it was a good movie. I don't think it's a good movie no more.
It's entertaining, but like, it doesn't really, there's no real character development.
It's actually sort of offensive at parts when I watch it with more recent eyes.
And it also just, the whole thing gives me a weird uncomfortable feeling for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Especially the anime.
And it's not even just that it deals with like horrible subject matter. Like that's obviously... That goes without saying, makes me feel uncomfortable, but that's what it's supposed to do. It's just the whole vibe of the movie in general gives me a different kind of uncomfortable, creepy, crawly feeling.
I agree.
As what people would say is cringe.
some people may say
I dig it, man.
Dude, you dig it the most. You dig just, Forrest Gump?
No, I dig what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I thought Jesse was about to be like, I'm going to fucking get Forrest Gump and eat a bunch of licorice.
We find out that LaForge's father was an exozoologist and his mother was a command officer. We didn't know that before this episode, did we?
Yeah, this episode has all these funny side bits.
I can't remember the timing. I did know that LaForge's mom was a command officer, but it's possibly... It's possibly that we learned it before, and maybe possibly we learned it later.
It's possibly airy. With the rotisserie.
It's the complementary with the rotisserie.
The neutron star's gravity accelerates in falling matter to tremendous...
In falling matter.
The neutron star's gravity accelerates in falling matter to tremendous speeds, and tidal forces near the surface can cause spaghettification!
Spaghettification. Yeah,
that's when you get all stretched out, just like a black hole.
I know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Stop assuming. Stop assuming I don't know shit.
But
why are you assuming I don't know shit?
I didn't assume you didn't know shit. Why would you assume that I am assuming? Why would you assume that I'm assuming that you don't know shit?
That was really mean.
It was not really mean. Making shit up.
making shit up.
Both.
What do you mean?
The actors Thornton and Astor had guest roles on Quantum Leap with our old friend Jonathan Archer, aka Scott Bakula. Not in the same episode. They had different episodes, but. This is fucking fucked up bullshit.
That really shook you, didn't it?
It was just very, very loud.
It was super loud.
It was so very, very loud.
I'm sorry, I can tell I really pissed Patrick off. The way you said that was some fucked up
bunch
bullshit.
Jam eaters.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
bunch
to fuck
of jam eaters.
I didn't mean to fuck you guys up like that.
No, it's quite all right. But yeah. You know, there's something harsh about the arrangement of this of the Quantum Leap theme song that you're playing there.
She was on Ernest Scared Stupid too.
Yeah, she was. What is harsh about it?
No, it's harsh.
I know. I said, what is harsh about it? And you said, no, it's harsh.
I don't know how to describe the notes, the tones that they're using are harsh.
Okay.
They're harsh tones.
Okay, no, thank you. That's you answered the question I asked. No, because first you said there's something harsh about it. I said, what's harsh about it, Patrick? And you're like, no, it's harsh. I was like, yeah. And then
it's
you were,
music.
And then you were like, the tones and the notes. I was like, oh, okay, that's what you mean. You answered it the second time around.
All right, okay.
So thank you for doing that.
All right.
Picard is surprisingly good with Clara in this episode near the end, considering he is historically uncomfortable with children. But keep in mind,
this is after Rascals.
This is disaster. You mean disaster?
Well, Rascals and disaster.
Well, disaster was the one where he directly had to deal with children.
What? And that got him on the.
That's
on
what
the
I'm.
Road.
Well, that's what I'm saying. On that one not only happened before, that happened this season. Disaster happened this season earlier on.
It's a good lesson.
So it should
this
just,
guy's learning lessons left and right.
So do you think the writers purposefully meant to show Picard's growth with his dealings with children, or do you think it was just kind of like they didn't think about it? Do you think disaster had an effect on his character in this episode in that he was handled Clara so well?
I'd like to think that it did. I can also buy that it's just serendipitous for them that they wanted that's how it worked out.
And when Picard goes like, when Clara grows up, she will make rules for her children to protect them as we protect her. You know, that's pretty presumptuous that he's gonna just
as
assuming
we protect
that
her.
As that he's assuming Claire is gonna have children. You know, he said when she has killed.
Yeah,
kids, you
I know? Agree. I thought of that too.
And the shields were down to 3% at one point, and Picard was keeping his cool. Like any other shot could like destroy them, but he was keeping his cool.
Keep my cool.
No, I'd be losing it, dude.
Yeah, I'd be like, God, what are you doing?
I'd be panicking.
If my cell phone was down to 3%,
which it never will be.
It sucks.
That would.
One time my cell phone died at 3% and I like lost my mind.
Yeah, I know. You're like, is it going to come back?
Yeah.
I was plugging it in. It's like, is it coming back? And then it's like, oh, there it goes.
In one of the episodes of our podcast, I was talking about.
Podcast.
Yes. I was talking about the different ways that different species like transport and zap away and stuff. Like there's the transporter zap away. There's some people zap away by opening like a portal and they walk into it. Some zap aways are like some flash of light. Like different species have different ways they zap away. And that does that.
Zap away.
And that includes Isabella's alien.
Zap away sounds like a cleaning product.
That, yes, it does. It's like some kind of zap to get rid of face fungus or something.
I was thinking about like cleaning to your shower tile.
Yeah. You zap your face
like
fungus.
Some dude
away.
Yells at you, zap away.
But Isabel's alien species, they had their own type of zap away. It was some kind of zebra wipe. If you noticed, every time she zapped away, they did a zebra. I don't even know if that's what it's called, a vertical zebra wipe.
I know exactly
zebra
what you mean. Wipe. Yeah, it was like weirdly, you know, not. Very advanced.
It was back, back in the day, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Other final comments as we
1992.
Wrap things up for this episode? This middling but memorable episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Did you
imaginary friend?
Is it just me or when Data said
it is clearly a bunny rabbit?
Like Guinan didn't look very amused when he said that. She was just kind of like she didn't even react really. She was just like.
Well, she knew he was being a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, she did. And I just want to play this line because there's no reason. There's nothing interesting about this line. Well, there is something interesting, which is why I'm playing it.
I always like when you I like when you preface things with like, yeah, I've got this thing that's like, you know, it has no entertainment value. Yeah. And there's, there's nothing really to comment on.
I'm just going to play it at the end here.
I just feel fucking compelled. I feel fucking compelled for some reason. Some internal drive is telling me I've got to play this nonsense.
I'm setting your expectations low. But I see that it's self-defeating, actually. All right. So. All right.
State is Mr. Data.
Isn't that cool?
State is Mr. Data. It is kind of cool.
Can I hear it again?
State is Mr. Data.
State is Mr. Data.
State is Mr. Data. State is Mr. Data. State is Mr. Data. State is Mr. Data. State is Mr. Data.
Status, Mr. Data. He says, doesn't say status. He says status, and that that's like a slant rhyme with data. Status,
it's
Mr.
Like
data.
Bob Dabalina.
Mr. Dabalina. Yeah. Mr. Bob Dabalina.
Mr. Bob Dabalina.
Bob Dabalina.
Purple omelets. Purple omelets. Purple omelets.
Indeed. Okay. So that's
in
the
fact,
end.
I'll bet she doesn't come around as much anymore.
We're dangerous.
We're dangerous. We're dangerous.
I'll bet she doesn't come around here anymore. We're dangerous.
In fact, I'll bet she doesn't come around as much anymore.
We're dangerous.
So silly. Okay.
A duck!
That concludes our discussion of TNG Season 5, Episode 22, Imaginary Friend.
Evidence!
No evidence required. This is the end. Next week, as we described earlier, next week we'll put this episode into Dan's algorithm, and Dan's algorithm will spit out another episode for us to discuss, and we'll keep doing that for the most part until April, when Discovery Season 5 comes out, and then we'll
I'm looking forward to that. I've been missing Discovery.
Yeah, it's been
I'm sad it's the last season, but I'm also excited because it'll be interesting to see how they wrap up this story and what fun stuff they do
during this season. Wrap it up.
But, so, if you want to find out what we will be discussing next week, it's easy peasy. You can go to our webpage. www.itsgotstartrek.com. You can go to our social media at It's Got Star Trek on all the various social media places. Oh. Blue Sky, Mastodon, Twitter.
Did you notice that Troy had both hot chocolate and chocolate cake? She must have been really stressed out this episode. She had both.
She goes to the chocolate when she's having problems.
That's a good call.
And I like that. I like Claire's had a stuffed dinosaur at the end, too. I thought that was cool, her stuffed dinosaur.
And, you know, when there's a problem with the cake in the future, it's like, because like replicator went off or something. That would be the only thing. It's like not like anybody made that cake. Guyton didn't make that cake. No. Oh, I'm concerned about the cake.
I hope
the cake's okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point. It's exactly what she's going to expect it to be.
What's the deal?
Otherwise, O'Brien's going to have to come and fix it.
Is there a reason why dinosaurs? Cool?
Chief O'Brien?
What? You said she has a dinosaur at the end. Was there any reason for it to be there's a dinosaur?
Oh, that they.
Is there like a thematic reason why dinosaur is better than, say, a teddy bear? Or...
I don't know why they chose a dinosaur, but that's why I thought it was cool, because I like stuffed dinosaurs. I think they're neat. Are you asking me why I pointed it out, or are you asking
me? Yeah, I was just curious if I was missing some sort of subtle clue.
No, there's no subtle. No, there's actually absolutely
like, a philosophical statement being made by the choice of dinosaur.
I was just being vulnerable and letting you into like my mind of things that I like and enjoy. Right. And one thing I enjoy is stuffed dinosaurs. Okay. And so I appreciated that she had a stuffed dinosaur.
All right, we want
to, as opposed to like a teddy bear.
Listeners,
although stuffed teddy bears are good too.
Listeners, we want to hook Dan up with stuffed dinosaurs. We want to hook Jesse up with salted licorice. I'm perfectly fine with adulation.
One size. Some sort of damping field to cause us to lose velocity.
All right. Yeah. Social media.
Dan's gonna stuff
Facebook. Ed has got Star Trek.
Adulation.
YouTube. has got Star Trek.
Patrick just needs adulation.
How about agitation?
I thought we were being honest about what we're into.
Yeah. No. That's good. I'm glad you finally admitted it.
But finally.
Did you notice he said?
Ooh.
Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity?
Damping.
I was wondering if you were going to do that.
He says damping.
I thought I heard dampening. Right.
Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity?
You know, that's a tricky one. Because I think it might be that he's saying dampening, but it's dropping out a little bit.
It's just contracting it a bit.
So play it again. I know we're supposed to be done, but I want to hear.
Could
this.
Some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity?
I think he's saying dampening.
No, in Chakotea, it's Chakotea.net says damping field.
Yeah, and that's some jabroni just writing that.
No,
shit down.
It's not. This is a legitimate site.
Yeah, I know it's a legitimate site, but it's still just somebody writing stuff down.
It's a mocking site.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts. I'm pretty sure it was in. It was in the closed captioning, because if it was dampening in the closed captioning...
That's also another person just writing it
down. If it was dampening in the closed captions, I would have written dampening down, because I would have taken note.
I think I hear dampening.
No, no.
This is cool but rude all over again.
No, because this is different because not only did I hear it and you heard it differently, so that's my word against yours, but this has Chakotea.net and it has the closed captioning. Yeah. You can't just decide what it is.
You put a lot of faith into other people.
No, I don't. I'm saying there's several sources. If it was just one other source, I might question it. But there were several.
Chakotay is getting it from the closed captioning, and the closed captioning guy is the one who made the mistake.
No, they're not. Chakotay does not get it from the closed captioning because I've seen differences. They spell color different in Chakotay. They spell it LOUR in Chakotay.net.
Because they're British. They're getting the British closed captioning.
First of all, you were like, it's just some jabroni writing it down. Now you're saying, it's getting from the closed captioning. So you got to pick which one you're going to go with.
Either or. Okay, that's it. We don't have to do this podcast. This is it for this week. We're done. We're always going over time. So,
could some sort of damping field cause us to lose velocity?
Check our social media.
Answer is an audience answer. If it was
check feedback at discussstartrek.com.
Is it damping or dampening?
All right, write Dan dampening at feedback at discussstartrek.com.
This is a call to arms.
Whether you think Riker is saying damping or dampening is really important. That's why we've extended the podcast.
I don't trust other people's opinions as much as you say. I just said there were several different sources saying it, but you're saying that they were all the same source. Okay, we disagree. But
I'm just saying that.
I don't trust your opinion.
What do you think, Jesse?
Dampening.
Wait, you think it's dampening?
You heard it too.
Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity?
I think he's saying dampening.
Yeah, he's just saying it all you know.
He's saying it all Riker stuff.
You always go on Patrick's side.
No, that's not even true, dude.
Okay. So yes.
Well, we're way past time.
Yes, I
didn't know we had a time limit.
Every week we sabotage ourselves. Okay.
Sabotage.
we'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
In order for the lateral sensors to complete their scheduled observations, additional processing time will be required.
We could steal a couple of hours from the engineering team while they're recalibrating the thermal interferometry scanner.
Will 2 hours be enough time to complete the high-resolution series on the neutron star?
No problem. We'll just double up the main sensor bandwidth while they're freeing up the lateral units.